This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 3, Episode 7 of TMNT Classic, Burns Blues. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
You're listening to Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 25. Gone for, I don't know, 2 weeks?
Well, we had 2 episodes last week, didn't we?
Yeah, but we're still behind the count. That's
they don't,
right.
They don't know that. It's a free podcast.
Free podcast. That's free right. Podcast. And you know what? Props to Gub, because he really didn't want to do it, because he's sick.
Yeah.
He's doing it, because that's how good of a person he is.
We were going to do it yesterday, but I was even sicker yesterday.
Were you?
I was even sick yesterday, and I went to work.
That's so funny.
Well, I got sick at work.
You know what? I feel really... Like, I feel bad for these kind of – for bad for people who have to deal with these kind of jobs where if you are sick and you can't work, then all this extra work just piles up.
Oh, you mean my job?
Well, my fiance has a job like that too where, you know, if she doesn't go to work, she gets all this extra work dumped onto her.
Right.
That sucks. That's really stressful.
Yeah, I'm on deadline. I have to finish something by Friday and it's going to be tight.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
But hey, I mean, you know. It's a cool job.
Yeah. let's talk about the turtles.
Talk about these turtles.
So this episode is called Burns Blues. Not really clear why that is until 6 minutes into the episode.
I suppose, but it's just weird.
It's very weird. So the episode starts and there's a heat wave.
That's right.
It's the hottest day ever. It's 112 degrees.
That's ridiculously hot. Yeah. That is so insanely hot.
Yeah. And then the turtles, of course, where do they spend their heat wave? Eating pizza.
Of course. And then April is commenting on how that's a ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, but they're doing it. They go to this place called Plinks, which is apparently the most famous fancy pizza place.
And it's not run by a Dago, which bothers me.
No, it's run by a French guy named Wolfgang Plink.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It should be run by.
He feeds them his specialty pizza, tofu and fresh shrimp pizza.
Fresh shrimp and tofu? I don't know. I might try that. I like shrimp. I like tofu.
That sounds like, I mean, that sounds fine.
Sounds doable.
I mean, tofu. I just don't like because it's texture.
Really? You gotta cook it right. You gotta
Anytime I hit something with tofu, it just sits there on a spongy, wet, gross thing.
Nah, there's ways you can get it where it's not.
I'm
like
sure. That. I'm sure there are, but.
So anyway, and the turtles are not about it because it smells bad.
Yes, which is weird because they live in the sewer.
Yeah, you know, you would think, but again, hey, we got to get through this episode. Writing, people.
Well, they say it smells bad, but then it isn't. It isn't the pizza that smells bad. It's the fridge where everything went bad in the back.
Well, I also assume the pizza was not refrigerated.
Oh yeah, that's yes. That's what happened. The pizza.
You don't refrigerate shrimp. That's going to be really nasty.
Yeah. Well, if you don't refrigerate any of your ingredients for pizza, it's just going to be nasty.
Yes, but especially seafood.
Oh, you're sure it's going to be gross.
Yeah, I mean, anything seafood related, you leave it out for a little while, it gets nasty.
So then Wolfgang runs to the fridge and is like, oh shit, my shit's all fucked.
Yeah, that's the exact words that came out of his mouth. Yeah. I think that was the exact dialogue.
Yeah, it says here on the YouTube closed caption that I have up.
That's right, that's what the closed caption says.
But then these three fat dudes come in and rob the pizza place.
Which is pretty hilarious.
It's kind of great.
You know, it's that time. And the turtles are in their, you know, kind of trench coat thing going on.
Also, it's a heat wave and everyone is wearing sweaters. Like, everyone in this restaurant is wearing sweaters.
Remember, it's written in the plot. Characters still stay on model.
Well, the background characters are all wearing sweaters and stuff.
That is weird. That point you're right on. Yeah, it's a little unusual.
Is there one guy who's got no sleeves?
He's sleeveless.
Sleeveless.
Go on that sleeveless. All right, so go on.
The fat guy with a long sleeve sweater on, there's another guy with a sweater and rolled up sleeves, another guy with no sleeves. It's like they're evolving to no sleeves. So then they get into a fight with these guys who are holding up the pizza joint by just throwing pizza at them and like.
Hey, you saw how bad they messed up Shredder when they.
Yeah, that's exactly what this reminded me of. Just them how badly they fucked up Shredder. It seems like this is their home turf. They have a terrain bonus. It's like an elf in the woods. They have terrain bonus.
They do. They get a bonus to their hide. They can surprise better.
They get advantage on all their attack rolls.
That's right. With long swords, they get a plus one, and with bows, I can just keep going.
Fuck.
All right, so go on.
So after these people, after they fight them, April makes a video of what just happened and shows it to her boss, Burn. Right, mm-hmm. And Burn's like, "This video is horseshit."
Oh, that's his name. Okay.
Yes, this video is horseshit because there's no turn. Yeah. That's the whole point. It's about him. But it's not really about him.
Not about him.
It's not about him at all. Shouldn't we call it like Heatwave or something?
Yes.
Or like Hot as Shell. Hot as Shell.
That's really good.
I just wrote it.
Copyright that.
Pay me. Dear Ninja Turtle writers, baby. So she shows the video of her report to Burn. And Burn's like, this is bullshit. You didn't get any turtles on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, I'm gonna do it myself, like the way we used to do it in the old school days. And he gets this, like he takes Vernon with him.
Takes Vernon with him. Vernon, very useful.
Is he?
No.
No.
Vernon is useless.
Might as well take Irma with him.
Irma, you know this is the only episode I can think of where Irma doesn't talk about dating somebody.
Yeah, I think does she not?
I don't remember it coming up even once.
Yeah, I don't think she talks about it at all, which is strange because that's her entire plot.
That's her thing. That's her thing. That's what she does. She complains about how nobody will go out with her. So then Burns goes with Vernon to go get a story.
Yeah.
And how he's so much better at these things.
Yeah, and he dresses like an old school reporter with a trench coat.
Yes.
And he forgot to put it on his pants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whatever. But meanwhile, in the sewer, it's freezing.
Yes.
And this is like where we start to figure out what's going on in the episode. Although they don't really make it clear.
No.
Because then, like, Leo just runs in and was like, "There's a April's calling." And what is April calling about again?
The story about like, so basically Burns tells April to go do a news story on, you know, air conditioning, because he's like, oh, I'll give you some BS news story. I'm going to go do a real news story. Then it turns out when she does, she calls the turtles to tell them all the refrigeration in the area is done by the same group.
Yeah. Yeah. They go back to Plink's Pizza for some reason because of, I don't know, something, because they find out like the air conditioning has been, fucked up by a company called SNK Refrigeration.
Shredder and Krang!
It was the most obvious. Like, I mean, it's not subtle.
I didn't figure that out till the end.
Oh, really?
I
wrote down my notes. Every place has been serviced by SNK Refrigeration. Quote, Shredder and Krang? Question mark? Quote.
Well, they're very diverse. They hire mutants.
They do.
They're hitting their quota.
Yeah. They're equal opportunity.
I love Bebop in this, you know, air conditioning.
Yes.
It's just great. It's like striped shirt thing with a hat that says SNK. Yeah.
So they find out about SNK Refrigeration and they split up to search. But they split up basically, all four turtles go this way, April, you go that way. Which is not really splitting up. It's just like put April in danger. April,
go over there. We're going to keep going.
And what happens? April gets in danger.
And April has a little motorcycle.
She doesn't have a little motorcycle.
She has the April Mobile. And I think before that happens, though, Burns, he's in an alley, and he sees some guy, you know, waiting there. And the guy says something, you know, and he thinks this guy knows what's up with the turtles.
Yeah.
So he says something to the guy.
I'm looking for the giant turtle.
And then he says something back to him. I forgot what it was.
It's something about tablecloth. Is the tablecloth red?
Yeah, is the tablecloth
red? Something like that?
You know what that reminds me of? The Marathon Man. Is it safe?
I never saw that entire movie.
Yes, you. But you saw that part.
No, I didn't get that. No,
well, you don't remember it then. You definitely saw it. All right, so because we watched it together.
Did we?
Yeah, we were in Chicago. We were hanging out in the hotel. It was me, you, Peter Pepper, formerly known as the Mega Buster. We were all there. All
right.
And it was on TV. Oh, and the dog was there.
The dog.
He was on the loose.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, you've seen it. Seen it. So anyway, he asked the guy, you know, the guy says the tablecloth, whatever. He says something, and then Burns thinks it's some kind of lingo, so he says turtles are green. And then they realize he's not the right person, and they capture him.
Yeah, you just point a gun at him. It's like point the revolver at him. It's like,
right. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, this is going to tie in with the plot. No, it's not. It's nothing to do with the
plot. There's one point where it almost ties into the plot, and then it does not.
Then it doesn't.
And then it doesn't. So they're captured by these weird like indistinguishably foreign people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they have an accent, but it's like weird.
Yep.
And then while they do this, April finds SNK Refrigeration, and she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go investigate." The turtles tell her not to, but she goes anyway, and it turns out to be Bebop. It is refrigeration uniform. Loading a truck with Freon.
Yep. It's the best.
It's the best. He's got a little striped shirt with SNK plumbing on the back.
It's amazing. Actually, that would be a great Halloween costume.
That would be a great pull. No one would get that.
No one would get it, and that's why it would be great.
I don't know about that. I always think, oh, by the way, my Halloween costume for next year is going to be Blank Man.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. It might be. I need someone else to dress as other guy.
Use a lady.
No. She would dress as the other guy.
Why not?
She doesn't like to dress up with the boys.
Well, that's fair. Not exactly. Hey, you know what? No, hold on. She owes you. You dressed up as a little girl from The Shining.
I did.
She's in your... No. Now it's fair. You could force her.
Yeah, well, we have the discussion often. It's like,
she owes you.
She's like, well, if I'm going to dress like a boy, you're going to dress like a girl. And I'm like, okay. Okay, I don't care.
You already did it, though.
No, but it's also like, I don't care.
Yeah, oh, I see. You don't care, but she does. Well, I don't want to dress as a girl. I'm with her on that one, you know? I don't want to do that. I don't want to walk around in a dress and lipstick, you know, for a costume. I've never understood that when guys are about that. I just go, I'm not about it.
Mine was a joke.
When you did it, it made sense. Because
it was a hilarious joke.
Shining. I still wouldn't do it, probably, but I get it.
I'm
talking about these guys, you know, some guy somewhere is, you know, I'm going to go as Wilma from the Flintstones. But there's nobody who's Fred. He just wants to go as Wilma.
Oh, I was contemplating going as Lilu Dallas from Fifth Element.
No!
Just on a whim, which I thought would be hilarious. But...
Oh, my dear. You can't, first off, you can't pull off that outfit.
No, that's the point.
Why would you do...
That's the point, because I'm hairy.
I'm
pretty
sorry.
Hairy.
My brain does not compute that at all.
I think it'd be hilarious.
That's just weird to me. But go on. Let's just move along.
Keep that mental image.
We're going to disagree on this one. That's just...
Keep that mental image.
No, I don't want the mental image. Thank you very much.
So back in the SNK Refrigeration headquarters, Shredder's like, we're stealing Freon, but Krang's like, we can't. Freon's not good enough. We need what is it? Magna freeze?
Yeah, that's
Neutrafreeze.
Right.
Neutrafreeze.
Neutrafreeze. That's it.
Neutrafreeze. Because because Freon's not good enough. They have to go to Plan B and steal Neutrafreeze. And they need to steal from it from the Neutrafreeze plant.
Yes.
I don't know, wherever the fuck that is. And they're driving over there, and as they go over there, the turtles arrive at the SNK plant, and Donnie's like, I smell Freon. It's that way. And they fall.
Yes, that's a common smell.
Is it?
Of course. I'm obviously being sarcastic.
What is... Isn't Freon like... Can't Freon get you high if you smell it?
It may. Only the Buster was around. He would know.
Can Freon get you high?
Wait. I know spray paint gets you high.
Teens hopping Freon from air conditioning units, says the Daily News. Yep.
Go on, say it again.
Teens are looking to get high from huffing Freon from air conditioners.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Teenagers looking to get high have started a potentially fatal trend, huffing gas from air conditioners. It will kill you, air conditioning technician, Liz Morris says.
I think a lot of kids from this new generation need to do that. I think that's a great idea. Sounds like an awesome plan. If you're dumb enough to try to get high off of Freon, you deserve to die. That's pretty much
how someone in some 18-year-old kid in California died after doing it.
Well, that's good.
Thin the herd?
Thin the herd. What's this called? The Darwin Award? I've heard of this somewhere, where somebody's so stupid they kill themselves.
The Darwin Award is just awarded to the person who died in the dumbest way every year, I believe. Like, it's got to be, like, self-fulfilling.
It's self-inflicted, because you're an idiot. That's the whole idea, yeah. You're taking yourself out.
You take yourself out of the game.
You're doing everyone a favor. You're doing what nature wants. You're taking yourself out of the game.
Out of the game. So they smell this Freon, and Donnie gets super high.
Yes, that's right. That's the next part of the episode. That would be great. Let's keep going in this direction. Let's just
we'll write our own turtle episode about them huffing Freon.
Whoa, Mondo Tubuloso!
That explains why Mikey eats so much pizza.
Yep, that would explain. He's got the munchies.
Got the munchies.
I didn't know you get the munchies from inhaling that.
From Freon?
Yeah, is that a common?
There's only one way to find out.
One way to find out. Special episode of TMZ.
Next episode, we'll be on Freon. So after they smell the Freon and chase the van, it cuts to Burn and Vernon being tied up and tortured, and it's revealed that they're tickle tortured.
Yes, I love this. This is I felt like somebody just made that up on the spot.
Yeah. Like, they were animating it, they're like, hey guys, before you finish the scene, what if he was being tickled? Like, yes. You're hired.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
But then the tickle torture is interrupted by a giant van. He just hears a voice, and he's like, who are you looking for? And he's like, I'm looking for those darn turtles. And then out comes a fat Italian man named Don Tortelli.
That's so random.
Which is the best.
Just this episode is the – I feel like two groups of people wrote this episode.
Yes.
There was one team that wrote, you know, Burns' episode thing. Yes. There's another team that wrote the turtle episode. And then they just awkwardly smashed the two together. And they don't interact or flow really.
No, they never – it does. It's great. It's
two separate things.
I imagine they had like two half scripts,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, "These aren't full episodes, guys. We got to do something." And the guy was like they were like turning a corner, like, "Oh, you got peanut butter in my chocolate. You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
Yeah,
two great tastes that taste great together." And they just smashed it up, and made one script. So Don Tortelli saved them essentially with his gang of fat Guidos.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to tickle them.
That's right.
Yes. So then they go to the Nutrafreeze. So then we cut to the Nutrafreeze plant, and Bebop's still in this SNK workman's outfit, and Rocksteady are unloading Nutrafreeze from the factory.
Factory, very important.
And then the turtles show up, and they get into a fight with Nutrafreeze.
That's right.
I find the fights are less rewarding.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Unless they're throwing, you know, Shredder out of a or the epic kick.
Yeah, the kick. If you go on YouTube and search Ninja Turtle kick, it should come up. I don't know. I don't know if it's that high up in the rankings.
I don't think so.
No, it's not. It's not. The SEO is not high on that one. So they wrap up like. They get chased by the Foot Clan, who are helping them unload Nutrafreeze, and they wrap them up in a fence.
That's right.
Oh, the turtles' main maneuver in this fight scene is just jumping out of the way.
That's their move. Animation budget was low that day. They just jump.
They wrap them up. They wrap the Foot Clan in a fence, and they're just like stuck forever.
You never wrap somebody up in a fence. It's very effective.
And then Bebop and Rocksteady decide to attack them with the Nutrifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
And Shredder's like, don't do that, you idiot. But then the turtles trip them over, and Rocksteady pierces the Nutrifreeze canister with his horn, and he freezes Mikey.
I actually really like that scene. It's pretty hilarious.
Because he's just lying there. Like, it's great. It's just
and then I feel the episode jumps the shark.
Yes.
So the turtles get frozen.
Well, Mikey gets frozen, and then everyone else gets frozen. But then they're frozen like 3 feet. Like, they're frozen at the other side of the yard.
Yeah.
So how did Mikey get there if he was frozen on that side?
Because they're coming over there like idiots.
Also, the other thing is, they stay frozen for a while, but isn't it a heat wave?
Yeah, you need to stop thinking. And you need to... Let's also point out the obvious. If First off, how did Shredder and Krang corner the market on refrigeration repair? Especially if they're so bad at it.
We need to corner the market on refrigeration.
What?
My impression of Krang cornering the market on refrigeration.
We need to put those ads in the yellow pages. Damn it, Krang! I told you, it's not going to work. It'll work, Shredder. So funny. Wish they had that in the episode. That would be hilarious.
Yeah,
kind of how they advertise their business. You know what I thought was going on? I thought S&K was a real air conditioning company, and they just, you know, attacked it and took it over.
Oh, yeah, that's possible, but...
For this plant. No, but it's called S&K. It's Shredder and Krang. It's obvious they created the company.
Or maybe they were like, we need to take over a refrigeration company, but we need one that has our initials.
They found them out. Maybe S&K was a shell company for Shredder and Krang, you know, for all their tax evasion.
All the money gets funneled through that?
I mean, it all gets funneled through S&K. All that Dimension X money. Let's be real. I still believe in my mind Shredder and the Foot Clan, you know, when we don't see what they're doing, rob people to get money.
Yeah, of course they do.
They, like, rob little kids. They beat up people.
How do you think they afford that skateboard arcade from the movie?
That skateboard arcade was pretty great.
As a kid, you were like, fuck those guys. They're the bad guys. But now as an adult, I'm like, man, that's the coolest fucking thing.
And then, of course, they're doing all the things that are bad. You know, hey, kids, why don't you go smoke?
Want to smoke some cigarettes? You know they made that in Brooklyn?
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they had a Ninja Turtle party in Brooklyn, and they made the Foot Clan that place.
Oh, that's great. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I got to go to that.
I didn't get to. It cost too much to get in there.
It was $1,000.
It was like, no, it was like $80. And it was like,
Sam Rockwell, the actor, is in that scene.
I know. Sam Rockwell is yeah.
He's the guy, I think, that offers them the cigarettes.
He's in that movie. He's, like, in, like, a bunch of those scenes with the kids.
I don't know if we explained that we're talking about the Ninja Turtles movie. I don't think we really – I mean, you and I knew, but I don't think anybody listening knows.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's in it. He's the guy that frees Shredder at the end.
He also gives the kids the cigarettes.
Yeah. But he's the guy that cuts Shredder loose at the end.
All right. So, anyway, the turtles get frozen by Shredder. And then Bebop and Rocksteady bounce, and then they go into the sewer, and then Burns and Vernon get dumped.
Yeah, like fucking filthy animals just kicked out of a moving car.
Yeah, in my mind, I just imagine they got, like, gang raped or something horrible, you know? Like, all right, we're done with them. Throw them in the street corner.
Just kicked out like the detritus they are.
And then...
this is the best part.
The episode just gets really ridiculous.
The best part of the whole episode is right here.
I almost question if the way they wrote this episode was a bunch of people wrote ideas down on a piece of paper randomly, and they threw it all in a bowl. Whatever you pulled out was what the episode was going to be about.
Yes.
I think that's how it was written.
I feel like someone wrote this section, and they crafted the whole episode around this one section. Okay, so this scene, we have to... Okay, this is the scene.
Tell people what it was.
What?
We built it up, but we didn't tell people what happened.
No. So Burn and Vernon are kicked out of the car. Kicked out of a moving car by Don Tortelli.
After who knows what they did.
Yeah, they could have done anything though.
We don't want to know.
And they get out, they dust themselves off, and Burn's like, all pissed off. He turns over and he sees the turtles frozen.
Yeah.
And he's like, cha-ching, here's my golden opportunity to make my story.
Now the cartoon finally, like, begins to kind of come together.
Yeah, now, like, the two stories are about to come together. Here it is. Here's the moment. So they run over. Him and Vernon start running over to get their story, and out of nowhere, they are abducted by aliens.
a little disc UFO flies up in space. I mean, flies over them in the air and sends a tractor beam?
Tractor beam. They're just surrounded by light, and they get sucked up by this, like...
What was your response when that happened?
I rewound it a couple of times.
I
was like, what?
That was one of those things that, you know that classic thing in movies where if you eat someone drinking soup or a beer, they spit it out? You know, that's what I would have done if I was, you know, had something liquid was in my mouth.
Yeah. It was just like, wait, really? Really?
What? And I was trying to somehow connect it. No. Maybe these aliens popped up earlier and I missed it. You know, because it's so crazy. There has to be a connection.
Yeah, I mean, you think, oh, this is going to come back later too. But then at this point, you're like, we're getting close to the end of this episode. Like,
I think the writers were just trying to – I think the way this was probably written was they tried to figure out a way to incorporate this character into the episode. But then they quickly realized, hey, nobody gives a damn about this guy.
No one gives a shit about Byrne.
It's kind of hard to squeeze him into the episode. So why don't we just, you know, keep him separate from the episode?
Yes, but then why name the episode after him?
I think because the episode was supposed to be about him. But they realized very quickly that he's not a good character to mix with the turtles. So they just separated him.
Well, they lose all plots at this point. All plots are lost. The heat wave's gone. Yep. Like, in the next few seconds, we forget entirely about the Freon and the super freeze stuff. The burns in space. Like, everything that's happened in the last 15 minutes means nothing at this point.
That sounds like a great selling point. Burns in space! This episode. Ugh. So funny.
So as soon as Byrne is abducted and the aliens leave with Byrne, the turtles melt. Like, the ice melts and the turtles are free.
Just melts.
It's like, okay.
Conveniently, it's time to melt.
It's so fucking convenient. And they know Shredder went into the sewer somehow.
Well, I mean, where else is he going to go? Shredder, exit, stage right.
Yeah, but then they're looking for where the drills that they drove up. Wait, so... In this episode, they park their drills in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
But don't they usually drill to the surface?
Yes.
But they're in the sewer. They need to be in the sewer for this.
Did we forget to mention that Bebop, Rocksteady, and Shredder kidnapped April? Because I felt like – I think there's a lot of things we forgot to mention.
They still have April. Like,
did we ever explain when the guys tried to rob the pizzeria, the turtles beat them?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know. For some reason, I don't remember us talking about this.
Described them beating them handily because they were in a pizza place. They had terrain bonus.
And terrain bonus. Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. What am I saying? I got too distracted by elf talk.
So they find the drills.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the drills, and as they're drilling away, the turtles find them on their little skateboard things and chase them down a
top. They're called something. I gave
them a cheapskates.
Cheapskate, thank you, Gub.
Well, this is the first time they've actually, like, when Shredder exits stage left in the drill, they actually decide to follow him.
Well, because they have cheapskates.
Yeah, before it would just.
You know what? I gotta say, that would be a good episode of the video game where you're riding a skateboard.
Yeah,
it's a drill. That's my thought.
When I watch it, like, this is cool. This section is cool. This would be a cool part of the video.
And then they kind of dodge these missiles and they ride up the side of the kind of tunnel, which is really neat.
Yeah. Well, they get – yeah. So there's two drill cars in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The front one has Shredder, Krang – Shredder, Bebop, Rocksteady, and April. The mm-hmm. back one has the Foot Clan.
Yep.
And the back one shoots a missile, or I guess one of them shoots a missile back at the turtles, and the turtles dodge it. But
they dodge it in such a cool way.
They dodge it by skating up the wall. But then the explosion, they may be hurt in the explosion. We don't know.
That's right.
Because then it cuts back to space.
Space
and Byrne.
Burns in space.
And Byrne and Vernon are in space, and these weird fat aliens
with masks on.
With masks on.
They're gonna anally probe them.
Did you see this joke coming?
I saw it coming a mile away.
I saw it coming because you see when you first see that they're wearing.
So they take off their hoods.
Bell bottoms with rhinestones on them.
They're Elvis aliens.
They're Elvis aliens.
That's right. And
they want What do they want to do?
Tickle them.
They want to tickle them.
That's what they do. They abduct, because they haven't gotten tickled enough. I mean, I will agree, if you really tickle someone a lot, it's kind of a form of torture. I think it's fair to say.
Sure.
I mean, it's such a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. But, yeah, they tickle them. Again, I think the writers are just going, it's a kid's show, so... What can kids do that is count? What can we show kids the closest thing to torture?
Which is tickling.
Tickling.
So.
That's tickling. Tickling.
We cut back to the sewer, and Shredder's like, "I killed the turtles. So I'm the man." And then we find out that the turtles are actually still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, they are.
Of course, they are. And then they're the title of the show.
And Shredder shoots a missile back at them, but he misses the turtles and hits the thing behind him?
I guess.
I was very confused by this, where things were in relation to each other. But then Shredder just ejects. Which is the best, because they're like, the front of the drill.
John explaining this episode, by the way.
The drill car, right?
Yes, drill car.
The drill car has four seats.
That's right.
Right, and they're not into four individual seats. They're two double seats. They're two like love seats next to each other, right?
That's right.
There's no steering wheel. There's no seat belts. There's no nothing.
You know what I just noticed is hilarious. Look at the moment when Raphael, when Shredder is talking to April in their car, and he sees the turtles in the rearview mirror, and Raphael is just smiling cheek to cheek. He looks like he's having the best time of his life. Leonardo's behind him. They look so happy. There's something so funny about that. Oh man, life is perfect.
It's great.
Just riding, and they're riding the back of the drill. They have a rope attached to it.
They're
holding on to it as the cheapskates, their skateboards. You know, they're kind of pulling a Marty McFly a little bit here.
They are.
Say that's fair.
They're hitching a free ride.
Shredder is Brick.
Yes.
What's his name?
Wait.
Oh, what's the name of? I can't believe. What's the name of the bully?
Biff. Biff Tanner.
Biff Brick, what am I saying? Biff.
Wait, so they're hitching a ride on the back of Shredder's drill car, mm-hmm. and the drill car behind Shredder's mm-hmm. shoots a missile at them, but
at the turtles,
and misses them and hits Shredder.
That's right. And Shredder ejects in his chair.
Shredder ejects. But he ejects like so they have two-seaters, like right mm-hmm. their seats. And Shredder ejects in a two-seater without April next to him. So April's just standing in the car by himself.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like, yeah.
And then it comes to the Foot Clan in their, drill car going to get the turtles as they save April.
Oh, that's my favorite scene ever when they cut to the turtle. So Shredder ejects. The turtles are saving April from the drill car. And it's full of the Nutrifreeze.
Nutrifreeze!
And they're like, the Nutrifreeze is going to be completely stable unless something hits it. A dramatic explosion happens.
Right.
And Raph goes, "Well, what about that?" And it's the drill car behind them. But then it cuts to inside the drill car, and it's just these 8 Foot Clan sitting there looking like one guy just shifts, and that's it. It's full of Foot Clan.
It's hilarious.
There's like 8 of them, and they're just like, "Hey guys, we're about to die.
We're gonna die."
And they basically run into the other drill car and blow up, and all the Nutrifreeze is gone.
And then it starts snowing.
Yeah, then it starts snowing.
It shoots out of the sewer into the atmosphere, and it starts snowing. And then at this moment, Burns is dropped off from the Elvis aliens. They don't need him anymore.
No.
Now it's snowing outside. You know what that reminded me of? The scene in, have you ever played the Ninja Turtles arcade game for Nintendo?
Yeah.
There's a part where you fight a polar bear with a leather jacket. Do you remember that episode? I mean, that fight.
Are you sure
level?
It's the arcade game and not Manhattan Project?
The arcade game. It's the one for that was for Nintendo though. The Ninja Turtles game for Nintendo. The number 2.
Yeah.
There's a polar bear with a leather jacket, and he just starts making it snow. Like something starts making it snow.
I don't remember that. Oh yeah, maybe. I don't remember if that's that one. Oh yeah, Tora.
He throws ice cubes at you.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I don't know that.
It's a great scene. That's what it reminded me of.
Good game.
Yeah, I never played Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighter game.
It's not good.
It's not good?
No.
I had a feeling it wasn't good. That's why I never played it.
There was a... I remember... This reminds me of, like... this episode reminds me of like Little Kid Logic, where just like one thing leads to the next and like things just have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminded me of growing up. There was we lived near a Blockbuster, and Blockbuster had this promotion.
I took it as the firework.
What?
For a split second. You know there's fireworks that used to be called
Blockbusters. Yeah.
I took it – my brain just saw that for a moment. I'm thinking to myself, girl, that doesn't sound very safe. Yeah. Whoever blew up, your house would get blown up. All right, go on. So you meant obviously the video rental store.
Yeah, we lived near the video rental store, the Blockbuster, the chain, back when they existed.
What is this Blockbuster you speak of?
And we also had a subscription to GamePro.
Of course, GamePro.
GamePro advertised this thing where like all the Blockbusters were going to have a tournament of Ninja Turtles, the tournament fighter, the video game.
The worst game ever.
There's going to be a tournament of it. And my older brother was like, "I'm gonna do that and win." He had never played the game.
Did he win?
No, he didn't even sign up. But it was like that little kid logic of, "I'm like the best gamer ever. I could win that."
Because there was no online gaming when we were kids.
No, but there was no – like, that game had been out for a while. We had never rented it. We had B never played it. Like,
yeah, but you know what? I feel like when you're a kid, when you live in this little bubble of the only people you ever play video games with is your family and your small circle of friends, you think that you're that good
if
you're
good
at video games.
If you asked me if at 6 years old if I was a good gamer, I'd be like, I'm the fucking best.
Yeah, I'm the best.
But meanwhile, like, I have nothing to prove. I have no evidence of that.
You know what's great is all those games you haven't beaten, you just assume nobody else can beat them.
Yeah, because they're Nintendo hard.
They're hard. No, I'm not the only, you know, except like a rare exceptional few who are in Nintendo Power in that little section.
Yeah, but even those dudes, like they're in Nintendo Power, but it's like, what evidence do I have that you've actually done any of this?
No, I just assumed there was, you know, a very small group of people, kind of like, you know, when you were a kid, there would be, I'm trying to think of an example off the top of my head. I felt like there were always those things, you know, let's just say for sake of argument, they said, well, if you do this, it'll cause cancer. But like, you've never met anybody who has it.
Yeah.
So you just assume it's like five people in the world. Like, that's how you feel about that small group of people who are really good at video games. Well, maybe like five of them in the world or 20. You know, what are the odds I'm going to run into one of those people?
Yeah.
So yeah, well, so your brother didn't even join the – he didn't even take part in it.
But he was so adamant that he could win. which looking – like, as a kid, I was like, sure, he has a chance. And now, like, looking back, I'm like, he had no chance.
No, I don't know. You play other kids in the neighborhood, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, how good can they be at Ninja Turtle Tournament Fighter?
Well, we have no basis. We have absolutely no knowledge of that at all. Yet, my brother was like, I'm going to win that.
So like
hands down, I'm the best at this. I'm gonna.
It was how confident he was.
Yeah.
With no prior experience.
It was little kid confidence. Like all we had was like one GamePro article that was like, here's everyone's moves.
I feel like there are way too many people who still have that level of confidence. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
I meet people, you know, especially kids who have not entered the real world yet. When I mean, you know, oh, I'm in college, and they're an idiot. They don't know anything.
Oh, yeah, well.
Very confident. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be the best. I'm really good at these things, and they suck at everything.
I find that with people who, like, draw.
Oh, God. I find that very odd because.
Yeah, because, like, you know.
You know you suck.
Like, you know what good art is, right? Like, your favorite artist draws like this. Like, you know they're good.
Yeah.
But you draw like this, and that's. How do you not know that's not good? Like.
I think there's degrees of bad, right? I feel like – this is going to sound mean, but I remember once I met this girl. She was a teenager, you know, like randomly. She was 15, and she had a sketchbook on her, and she just was showing off her art, and it was fucking terrible. I mean, it was really, really bad. And she was saying, yeah, I'm really good. And I'm thinking, maybe that is really good for somebody who's 15. I don't know. But it looks terrible. But you think it's good because you're 15.
Well, there's an age thing. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying as a 15-year-old, do you just kind of think to yourself, well, I suck, but I mean, I'm 15, so this is really good.
Yeah.
So is that how it works? I don't know. I mean, I feel like when you get to a certain level of being able to draw well, you'll look at things that you think are terrible, but they're actually not bad. It's just you're just so used to having a certain standard of what's good. It's really hard. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Well, I feel like in general, I have judge whether something is good or bad without, like, whether or not I personally like it. You know what I mean?
I'll give you an example.
Like, I don't personally like Jim Lee's not bad.
Let me put it this way. You would look at, like, Rob Liefeld, and I would look at Rob Liefeld and go, this is terrible.
Yes.
Right? But a kid would look at that and go, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like, you're going to hold these drawings to a standard that is much higher than the average person would. Right? Now, what I don't understand, though, is that why would somebody who has the internet think they're really good at drawing ever? I mean, no matter how good you think you are, you will always find somebody who is a million times better than you.
Whoa. Also, yeah, access is, you know, you have access to every image ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, you'll just randomly find this art sometimes and go, Jesus Christ. Like, how was this made? You know, it's just...
And that's the episode.
That's the episode. That's it. It's over.
Well, did we wrap it up? I mean,
no.
Burn.
Not.
Burn lambs after when it's snowing.
Yes, we talked about that. Tangent about Ninja Turtles arcade game.
And then he decides to go on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, I got the scoop of the century. And
yep.
He goes on the air and starts blabbering like an idiot.
Yeah, he starts talking about UFOs, Elvis aliens that tickle you, and that's how the episode ends. Like, oh, he's an idiot.
What ends is the turtles eating pizza in the sewer watching this and Raph comments, but they're eating pizza with, like, they're just eating, like, blobs of pizza with two
hands. Oh, and also before that, Krang chews out Shredder.
Of course.
You know, for screwing up for the 400th time.
Like, Shredder's, like, the worst employee ever.
Well, look, first off, I was even thinking about this the other day. If Shredder is so smart, I mean, you kind of have to, you know, just pretend this isn't true. Why would he keep using Bebop and Rocksteady when they continually fail and screw up everything?
Yeah, because it's, like... It's understood that Shredder is, like, the best fighter ever.
Yes. So why is he – I feel like it's one of these things they should at least explain it. You know, oh, he's stuck with them for some reason. He has to use them.
Yeah.
No, but they don't do that. He just – oh, Bebop, Rocksteady, let's go. Why would you bring the worst guys who suck at everything?
Yeah.
In the comic, the way they do it is that Bebop and Rocksteady suck at everything, but they're incredibly strong.
Yeah. Well, that's so what they should be in this episode, but they're
– it evens out. But in the show – they're not incredibly strong, and they're stupid and screw everything up. So there's no benefit to having them.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, have Bebop and Rocksteady ever defeated anybody? Ever?
I mean, once? Bebop just beat up April.
That's not hard. It's not hard to beat up April.
Well.
He's a giant warthog.
Oh, in Tournament Fighters, April is a ninja, by the way.
Well, they gotta get her in there.
You gotta get her in there. She knows Kung Fu and she's a ninja.
Get her in there.
She's also the only she's the only girl in the game, and guess what? She's fast and she hits weak.
Like that was the way it was always done.
That's the way it was always done.
That's the way it's done. They make up for their lack of size and strength by being really fast. Because as we all know, that's what girls are like in real life. They move really fast.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. Didn't you know this? Girls are incredibly fast and agile.
Okay.
When I had a fight with my fiance, she did a ninja flip over me, and then I decked her anyway. But still, you know, it's a good fight for that 5 minutes.
She had speed, but I had power. You know,
she had speed, but I'm really slow, but I hit hard.
and then I have two friends who are both average.
Average. That's right. That's right.
It's the Rescue Rangers. Like small guys, fast girl. You know,
Pirates of Dark Water had a video.
Pirates of Dark Water.
Pirates of Dark Water had a video game.
But the thing is, there's usually two dudes who are in the middle,
right?
Who are average.
They're like
it's a Voltron.
That's right.
Voltron.
That's right, and that's why this is a good episode of Turtles. There it is.
That's it.
It's over. I'm definitely gonna have to edit this one.
This is a terrible episode.
Someone's calling me. Anyway, I'm King Kong heading out.
And I'm Pizza Tossing Gum.
Take care.